KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, if it is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at Robots Attack Me, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
All right, welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound, the Geek Center talk show. I am Joe, and with me is...
Caleb.
And, of course, Jason will be joining us soon.
Momentarily.
Yes, whenever he so deems he wants to grace us with his presence.
Yeah, this guy, this guy right here.
He likes to make an entrance.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It's true.
If you're going to show up, might as well show up in style, right?
Exactly. Speaking of things in style, Robots Attack is always in style.
Totally.
Sure.
We are the pinnacle of style.
Yes.
In geek culture.
Exactly. Nice little clarification, a little asterisk on the end of that statement. But yeah, we got a great show for you today. In the core, we're going to be talking about Microsoft dropped a lot of news that, you know, you would kind of think... Mm-hmm. would be at E3, which is happening in a few weeks. But it looks like they wanted to get this information out of the way. So we're going to be discussing a lot of that. And did we like it, not like it? How will it affect the Xbox brand itself? Mm-hmm. And of course, we'll have the news.
All the news you can use.
And some that maybe you just... like,
I'm just kind of interested in, like, oh wow, I didn't really know that was a thing, but that's totally interesting.
But I will figure out some way to use it. Mm-hmm, you know, maybe it'll strike up some conversation. You know,
yeah,
you
your water cooler conversation will be that much more improved because of this section.
Yes, and of course, we start off the show with new releases. Speaking of new releases, in the theater this week, a nice little selection. We have Cold Bloom, a young woman. Shiori deals with the accidental death of her beloved husband at a local industrial town, recovering from the March 11 tsunami disaster. Shiori is hesitant to admit her attraction to Takumi, who played a hand in her husband's death. This is a story of a young woman who forgives a man whom she once hated and overcomes the past. Hopefully that wasn't a spoiler, but that was the synopsis of the film. So blame the person who wrote the synopsis of the film.
It's a very Japanese synopsis of a film. Yeah.
Here's the beginning, here's the end, and there you go. Speaking of sort of more Japanese stuff, probably the big release this week, Godzilla!
Godzilla!
The world's most revered monster is reborn, a powerful story of human courage in the face of titanic forces of nature when the awe-inspiring Godzilla rises to restore balance as humanity stands defenseless. If god giant monsters aren't your thing, maybe you like baseball, sort of true stories. Million Dollar Arm. In a last-ditch effort to save his career as a sports agent, J.B. Bernstein, played by John Hamm from Mad Men, concocts a scheme to find baseball's next great pitching ace, hoping to find a young cricket pitcher he can turn into a Major League Baseball star. JP travels to India to produce a reality show competition called Million Dollar Arm. Why I say it's sort of real is it's based on a true story. So, you know, it's like, it has true elements in it, and I'm sure it's got some stuff in it to make it a movie, you know. So there
exactly.
There you have it. A nice little sampling of some movies coming out in the theater. And if it's anything like it's been these past few days, the theater might be a good destination to head out to stay cool.
Seriously. It's been really warm out there here in the Bay Area. Let's see, from movie land to DVDs and Blu-rays that you may want to procure for an afternoon in to keep cool there, perhaps. First off is Her on Blu-ray and DVD. A man who makes a living writing very personal letters for others finds himself at the end of a long relationship. Distraught and emotionally broken, he tries a new computer OS, which has a personality which is tailored to each user. As the computer learns more, the relationship with the man deepens to the point that they fall in love. Then there is I, Frankenstein on Blu-ray and DVD. After being abandoned by his creator, Frankenstein's monster wanders the earth and into the present day. Now he finds himself in the middle of a war between heaven and earth. And between heaven and hell, actually. I just wrote that note.
Some people do say.
It's true. Hell on earth, right? Right. And he also finds himself the key to the salvation of the human race.
Are you the key master?
No, slam. So then there is Generation Iron on DVD. It's a documentary. I've been trying to throw a few of those in there just to kind of, you know, change things up a little bit. It's not all major movie pictures that come to DVDs.
Boo.
Quiet, you.
You get paid off.
Generation Iron is a documentary looking into the world of professional bodybuilding. It follows seven men in their pursuit of being Mr. Olympia. And then rounding out this week's selection, or this week's smattering of the selection, is Stalingrad on Blu-ray and DVD. The battle that turned the tide for Russia in World War II, this story focuses on a group of Russian soldiers holding one particular building, and the relationship that grows between them and the residents of the building in ways that only calamity can push them.
Alrighty. After you're done watching some movies, maybe you feel like playing some video games. Well, this week, it's got some pretty big releases. First off, we have, a lot of people have been waiting for this one. Some say a few years, and so far it seems like the wait has been worth it. Super Time Force for Xbox One and the 360. Super Time Force is a frantic, hyper-action video game filled with total mayhem, total madness, and total nonstop shooty-shooty-bang-bang destruction. And yet it also has super sweet, soothing, perhaps even sublime moments of slow motion. Every level in Super Time Force contains three mysterious interdimensional objects called shards, which can be used to control the flow of time. Slowing it down to like velvety smoothie molasses, allowing players to unleash a truly heroic level of dodging, weaving, sniping, and precision acrobatics. And it has a dolphin character in it called Dolphin Lundgren. Next, nice. We have The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 3, In Harm's Way. Drops on the PC, the 360, PS3, iPad, iPhone. Then we have the PS3 edition of Minecraft. Then we have something for the Wii U. We've got Scram Kitty and his buddy on rails. Take control of a rail-riding, laser-shooting young hero on a perilous quest to find his kidnapped pet cat. With unique control system that allows for 360-degree platforming action and exciting 2D shooting. Then we have some DLC for a little game called Titanfall. The Titanfall Expedition DLC drops for the Xbox One and the PC.
Yay.
Apparently the 360 version is going to get a little bit later. Expedition's story takes place after the multiplayer campaign and consists of three maps, Swampland, Runoff, and War Games. Matthew Broderick may or may not be included. Swampland melds.
Would you like to play some games?
Yeah, maybe. Swampland melds a swamp forest with archaic alien technology structures, offering pilots with an optimal environment for wall running. Runoff is a smaller map set inside a multi-level industrial facility, and War Games is based in the game's training simulator with transparent wall running paths. Apparently, it's a map they made to teach you how to do the wall running and that sort of thing, which is a big deal for that game.
Yes. Yes, it is. So from video games to possibly want a little bit more, a little more mellow kind of experience, and you might want to pick up some comic books, which can still be exciting, but they're not quite like twitchy exciting as much. From DC, it's Justice League United, number one, and an unlikely team of heroes, Stargirl, Martian Manhunter, Green Arrow, Animal Man, and Adam Strange, face down the unmanageable, a force that doesn't seem to stop. And that's actually the name of the creature or entity. We don't know. Well, you'll have to read the comic and find out. Over across town at Marvel, it's Nightcrawler, number two. Nightcrawler and Wolverine are on the hunt. Whomever is trying to remove those near and dear to Nightcrawler. Remove them from this plane of existence. From Dark Horse, it's Abe Sapien. It's Abe Sapien number 12. Abe is entangled in the relationship of a rural couple, a relationship that has gone horribly wrong in ways that only a BPRD agent can get involved with such a thing. Then from Archie Comics, it's Afterlife with Archie. Number five, the remains of the gang are now pressed into one of the hardest decisions of their lives. Do they leave the only home they've ever known? Sure, the zombies and fire are a problem, but what waits for them outside the town line? Ooh. And then from Image to round out this week, it is Starlight. Number three, the fight for Tantalus is about to begin. Duke and his young companion are facing down an enemy even stronger than when Duke was in his prime, which was 40 years ago.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of whoa, here's our last of the new releases. Let's turn to some music. The Black Keys dropped the new album, Turn Blue, the eighth full-length release for the blues rock duo of Urobeck and Patrick Carney, was produced by Danger Mouse. There you go, very Danger cool. Mouse producing. Then we have How Is This Possible? He's Not Alive. Michael Jackson has a new album. Escape. Yeah. It's not an X.
Mm-hmm.
The picture's funky if you've seen the album cover. It's an 8-track album from the pop singer, features unreleased songs completed between 1983 and 1999. Okay, so that explains it then. Cause
previously recorded, but yet unreleased.
And with new production from executive producer L.A. Reid, as well as Jerome J. Rock Harmon, Rodney Jerkins, John McClane, Stargate, and Timbaland. Wow, a movie, some shoes, and a congressman?
Yeah.
All right.
Shoe slash rapper.
And an action movie hero somewhere in there, too. Who knew?
Moving on to The Swans with To Be Kind, the third release since the Michael Aguirre-led band reformed in 2010, was recorded by John Congleton and has a runtime of over 2 hours.
Whoa.
There you go. That's a lot of Swan music.
That is a value package right there.
It may or may not be kind. We'll just have to find out. Mm. And her 14th studio release, Tori Amos, Unrepentant Geraldines.
Wow.
The singer-songwriter is said to be a return to her piano-centric alternative pop rock sound.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Guided by Voices with Cool Planet, the latest release from Robert Pollard's prolific indie rock band, sees the return of drummer Kevin March. And to outdo the 14th studio release, the 42nd studio release of Dolly Parton, Blue Smoke. Country singer features duets with Kenny Rogers and Willie Nelson, and is a surprise to no one that they guest star on it.
No.
I'm imagining.
Yeah. Who saw that one coming?
Yeah. But man, 42nd.
The woman has been producing a lot of music.
That's a legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For certain.
You got to give it up to Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's been a sampling of some new releases. Hopefully some of those sparked your interest. And if not, well, that's your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I think they're pretty rad.
Exactly. Like I mentioned, we got a great show for you today. Later on, towards the end of the show, in the core, where we do our geek discussions, we're going to be talking about the big news that Microsoft has been dropping these past few days, that we're like, you know what? We're just going to do this now instead of wait for E3 because it's
going
to be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about those, see what it has to do with the future of the Xbox brand and whatnot. And of course, maybe we'll squeeze in some geek talk. I don't know. I need to confer with the other two nerds if there's anything that they want to talk about. But we, of course, will have the news after this music break. Do you want to tease the folks some news topics?
How about this? A woman whose cancer was killed with measles.
What?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued. Although, did you just give away the entire story?
Well, that's the tagline. There's a lot more to it. It's gonna be fascinating. Tune in.
Okay, stick around. You know, like that, perhaps that synopsis of that Japanese film that I mentioned, where they maybe gave away the entire plot.
There's
you
want to
stick around. You still want to stick around.
How about Jason?
Oh, I have a video game that's being released that features a certain North Korean ruler.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which one could that be?
You'll just have to tune in and see.
We will find out.
Know. There's been a few.
It's true. It's true.
Depends on what time period the video game is perhaps taking place, or maybe traveling through time.
Ooh.
Ooh. Now, before we and I say we, I mean Caleb, tells you about how you can participate on the show, we have a fantastic PSA for you.
Yes, we do.
Join Thai Silicon Valley to host the world's largest entrepreneurial conference, ThaiCon. Learn everything there is to know about big data, mobility, and software-defined infrastructure, as well as meeting and networking with some of the brightest entrepreneurial minds in the Silicon Valley. Join the excitement at Santa Clara Convention Center Friday, May 16th through Saturday, May 17th by registering now at www.thaicon.org.
That was very well read.
Yes.
I try.
And if you wish to compliment Jason also on his reading or talk about give feedback about the stories that we're going to talk about coming up.
Masterful segue.
Thank you. You can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack, two words. Or you can find us over on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all one word. And finally, there is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. But if you just want one place to find links to all the stuff I've described, or you just want one place to find it all, robotsattack.me. Links to Facebook, Twitter, email, and past episodes as well.
And I know you're dying to do something right now, but if you're driving, hold that thought.
Hold it.
Don't do it. Wait till you're in a safe place. Or if someone's riding shotgun, have them do it for you.
Mm-hmm. Relax. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wise words.
Indeed. Indeed.
All right. Let's get to some music. I'm going to play Ghost Beach, the track Been There Before. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Oh.
listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We are now going into...
News.
That's right. We're in the news, and Caleb has our first story.
That's right. Our first story comes from the Washington Post, and it is about Miss Stacy Erholtz, a 50-year-old mom from Minnesota who has been battling melanoma, blood cancer, for over 10 years now, 20 years?
Oh.
A long time. She's been through chemotherapy, two stem cell transplants, but it hasn't been able to stop this cancer of the bone marrow and the blood.
Oof.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly stuff. Before this radical treatment that she received, the scans showed her having tumors all over her body, and one of the most notable ones was actually on her forehead. It was large enough that it could be seen by her, that was clearly seen by her family, was beginning to actually impact her skull and press into her brain.
Yeah.
And to kind of deal with it, her family actually named it. They named it Evan, I think, is the name.
Wow.
Yeah, it was... So, you know, at this point, she's at the Mayo Clinic trying to just, like, figure out what and or if there is anything left. And so they try out a highly experimental treatment on her where she is given 100 billion units of the measles virus, roughly enough vaccine to inoculate 10 million people.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is a lot of this. It took several hours to go through, and... she said she had a really horrible headache later, and like her, as her body was like just working through it, like she was shaking, vomiting, had fever, all sorts of stuff. But 36 hours later, the tumor on her head was gone.
Wow.
Like disappeared, like vanished off the face, off of her, like all the rest of her cancer had gone with it too. Like it was like... It's like modern science miracle kind of thing. It's astonishing. Now, this is not going to be become like an everyday treatment anytime soon.
Mm.
Just make colas that are like measles cola.
Yeah.
Cures cancer.
Yeah. Watch out, Nuka Cola.
Yeah. They said that, you know, they are looking to possibly... to use this more often, but it's a really big thing to push on a person. Like that's a lot of yeah, stuff.
I swear that was a plot in House on like an episode or two.
the idea of using viruses as a means to cure another disease. A virus to kill a virus effectively, or kill a cancer, has...
A virus that we already know how to beat.
Yes. this idea has been floated around a few times already amongst medical researchers, because like, viruses are really good at triggering immune response, typically, especially if it's one that we know how to get the body to react to. And if you can get the virus to attach itself to the cancer, then and have it trigger the immune response of the body, it will usually... It is thought to be... potentially very effective at getting the body to respond to these foreign cells within themselves. So it looks like it worked in this case, but she's only the second person to have received this treatment and the first person that it was successful with. So
okay.
It's kind of not really sure what the future is, but it's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it worked, and
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm sure her family are pretty ecstatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the science community, I'm sure, is kind of like going, wow, this really worked. We actually might have a shot at making like viruses that take out sickness.
Speaking of, well, okay, this isn't exactly on the same level as that, but, you know, if you're interested in free radio time, KSCU loves to broadcast announcements about local nonprofits and government agencies. You can email traffic at kscu.org with information on services or upcoming events, and we will consider making an announcement for your organization. So clearly not on the same level as that, but but hey, maybe something that makes important announcements. Yeah, health stuff that's important.
Health is important, and there's plenty of startups that are trying to change human health here in the Bay Area as well, so maybe one of them will contact us.
Yeah.
Traffic at KSU.org.
That's right.
And in the vein of public services announcements, I'm sure in North Korea right now, public service announcements are running like crazy about how awesome Kim Jong-un is, the third of the Kim Jongs.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are not quite believing it, because he looks like a kind of a pudgy guy and kind of nondescript. A little bit of an interesting haircut.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, so just so people know, this is Dennis Rodman's buddy?
This is Dennis Rodman's buddy, the current leader of North Korea.
Okay, just to make sure we're the current one.
Right.
All right.
Right. Interesting. He now has his own video game.
What? No.
What?
No. Yes.
Money Horse Productions created...
Money Horse?
Horse.
Money yes. Horse. Okay.
As in
yes.
Galloping.
Just want to make just clear.
Giddy up, let's go. They created what looks to me like, honestly, an awesome video game. You are Kim Jong-un, and you are
Kim
running
Jong-un.
Around destroying America's military. Single-handedly.
As
at times, atop... A fire-breathing unicorn.
Ooh.
I believe it's fire-breathing. It looks like it's fire-breathing. I can't tell absolutely for sure, but it's definitely a unicorn. So if you were wondering what the favored weapon of Kim Jong-un is, now you know it's a flaming unicorn. So
there you are then.
But...
Oh, there's a but.
There's more?
If you're interested in grabbing it, you are going to be in for another treat.
Oh.
Not only do you get Kim Jong-un, you also get his best friend, Dennis Rodman.
Oh, wow.
As player two.
So when you do your Konami code, you can have unlimited lives for both of you? I don't know if that's going to work.
If this doesn't have a Konami code, I'll be surprised. But yeah, it definitely looks like it's worth checking out. It's totally an 80s style, like, action side-scroller, like a Metal Slug, something like that.
Metal Slug or Contra or something like
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
Interesting.
It looks like it's stripped down a fair amount, but it looks like it also has a pretty good sense of humor, which I know probably... is a big surprise considering it's a video game about Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Some of the little things that I've caught are genuinely hilarious. So
very cool. Looking forward to finding out more about that one.
Yeah, I just, might have to get this.
Just the concept alone is kind of one of those, but what? Huh.
There's
so that's
no,
a thing.
There's no specific date out for it, but it is coming out later this year.
Alrighty then.
Well, I mean, if memory serves, I believe his dad created the hamburger, and on his very first like time at playing golf, he got like a hole in one. So
okay,
right.
You know, I would imagine that his son would get
some
his
of
own
that.
Video game.
Oh yeah.
Know? So it just makes sense.
He probably created it himself.
Probably.
He's probably a master programmer.
Exactly.
Everything.
That's my guess as well.
He dreamt it and it came true.
Ooh.
Such as that's the power the, of his mind.
Right. That is the official story here at Robots Attack. we scooped it.
Before anyone else.
Yes. Right.
Right out of the cat box. I mean... No.
This looks better than cat box items.
I kid.
But...
Or does he?
Yeah.
All right, and definitely we'll have links to that story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As well as Caleb's at our all of our Facebook page and Twitter and all that jazz. So my story kind of spins off of a story that I spoke about last week about the, I believe it was last, about the X-Men, like Days of
Future Past.
Yeah, right. Talked about that. Well, I believe, I can't remember, I remember Jason bringing up that he would be very disappointed if Channing Tatum was announced as Gambit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, Jason, but my story is that
Channing Tatum
confirmed as Gambit.
Thankfully, the internet softened the blow for this.
What? You're not supposed to look at the news stories until we report them, right?
Well, I mean, what?
There we go.
Channing Tatum?
Take two. Rewind. Cut that out. We'll redo it.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll be great.
So yeah, there's even like an update to that story. See, now the Hollywood Reporter has gotten some specifics about the story. According to the trade sources, Tatum's Gambit will debut in the next X-Men film, Apocalypse. But the plan is for the character to then get a standalone spinoff of his own. It doesn't have a director at the time. But yeah, it looks like one of the X-Men producers expressed some interest in casting Channing Tatum as Gambit in a standalone movie. So, you know, there was kind of some things brewing behind the scenes kind of early on. And then I guess, you know, instead of just jumping straight into a standalone, they're going to, you know, introduce him in, you know, one of the bigger
kind of team.
Then
give him a chance to try out the idea if they like him or not in the role, and then give him his own flick or what have you.
Yeah. I know there was, I guess apparently he grew up kind of around in that area.
Yeah, that's what
so
he says. He's from around there.
He's sort of familiar with some of the styles and stuff, so it should be interesting to see, like, what he brings to
at
it.
At least he'll try at the accent as opposed to, hi, I'm Gambit.
What?
Yeah. Not even,
hey,
not, no accent
if you
at
can't
all?
Do the accent, I would rather have that. I'll be honest here.
Well, true.
But like, he didn't even try for like a southern accent or anything. He just like, he could have been from New York or from California for all the difference it made for his characters. Like, oh man, that was just so disappointing.
Still rather have that.
Yeah, I think an interesting thing to look for is I forget the name, but that sci-fi movie that the Wachowski brother and sister are doing that he's going to be in.
Jupiter Rising.
Yeah.
Right?
Jupiter Rising, yeah.
Jupiter Rising.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
It's Jupiter something.
Yeah. Okay. Since he's playing...
Or Ascending, maybe? Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those. I'm sure someone in their car is yelling at
Jupiter
it.
Starting up. Jupiter yeah. first movie.
Jupiter Kickstarter.
Right.
But yeah, I think because he's kind of playing this sort of bounty hunter, like action roguish kind of character. So it might be like kind of a good thing to see, like, okay, if he pulls this part off, he might have a good shot with Gambit. But
yeah. And the stuff that they have put together from that movie looks pretty decent with him in that role, so
We'll see.
So yeah, and Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending, okay. So we were all right in a way.
Jupiter Kickstarting. We're gonna stick with
that's gonna be the prequel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, let us know what you think. If you're excited about Channing Tatum as Gambit and of course, you know, do that by tweeting us or hitting us up on Facebook, Robots Attack and Robots Attack Me.
Yep. robotsattackshow@gmail.com is the other good place to contact us. Alrighty, so I'm going to move on to I think a very cool story, but I think they're all pretty rad, honestly.
Better be.
It is. So we often mention DARPA, and usually what we talk about DARPA, we're talking about kind of their more far out sort of projects, things that are
like,
very,
whoa, far out, man.
No, more like in very future-focused, probably within the next 20 or so years, going to arrive. Maybe 15.
Not soon.
Yeah, yeah, not soon, but if they don't start working on it now, it's never going to get here kind of thing. Well, they have one of their projects has been approved by the FDA. Yes, the the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved a robotic arm that is named the Luke Skywalker. It is
actually named that.
I believe it's called the Luke or the Luke Skywalker. Actually, they don't give the particular name of it in this article, which is rather annoying.
Huh.
Yeah, they dubbed it the Luke or Luke. What makes sense. What makes this one sort of unique is that up until this point, really, like a metal hook on the end of the arm is kind of the most efficient means of adding a grapple to your arm that isn't your own.
Mm-hmm.
But this one actually has
almost the safest.
Yeah. But this one is unique because, like we've talked about before, about a research being done about a robotic hand that can sense. This one doesn't sense and give like feedback along the nervous system, but it can turn the key in a lock. It can pick up a grape without crushing it. It can catch things in midair. It's actually pretty sweet.
Does it make Julian fries?
No, but you can set it and forget it.
No.
No, I have actually no idea. it has 10 specific movements that you can perform with the arm and the, and it has a, you know, 5 fingers, and it will, and you can, it looks like you manipulate them individually like Luke does in Empire Strikes Back when he gets his hand severed. Mm-hmm. And they give him another fake one. So I don't think it's quite as good as that because that was a special effect, but.
And it looked like a hand.
And it actually looked like skin, which is, but
this is like his, this is like his dad's hand.
Yeah, this is, and this thing is.
Man, we're spoiling that movie all over the place.
Yeah.
The hand is tough enough and strong enough to handle things like a hand drill or power tools, but it's also, like I said, you can do delicate maneuvers like pick up soft things like grapes and tomatoes and, you know, things that when.
Delicate enough for a woman, but strong enough for a man.
Sure.
Or the other way around.
Either way, it's a new level of prosthesis, which we haven't seen before. And it's a DARPA project that became, like, really real, as opposed to just, like, this is good research real. So I think that's kind of rad in of itself.
Very
so
cool.
There you go.
Well, I don't have a perfect way of trumping that story because that is some pretty nifty technology.
Well, I got something that's sort of like special along the way as well.
Okay.
Oh.
It's about the San Jose Animal Advocates. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. Yeah, I saw one of their recent posts. Someone found a kitten on 680 that had been hit or something, and someone found the cat, brought it to like one of the shelters or something like that, and then they reached out, and someone who's, you know, following them, like they needed a ride, the kitten needed a ride to the hospital or something like that, and so one of the, you know, members or people that follow was able to take the kitten to the hospital, and they showed a picture of the cat just kind of like hanging out there, and it had in the cast and stuff like that. Super cute, but they do good work. So, you know,
there you go. They are doing real help for real animals in real life. That's awesome.
Man, I can't trump that either.
Well, can you, like, maybe on the same level or segue to...
Well, this is another one of those little stories that I like to collect because, in my view, it has the potential of actually changing the world. Ooh. Not okay. Just an attempt at it. Oh. Like, really do it.
So it's not like the segue?
Like math.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's ever done anything that great with math. Except maybe the people in this story. anyway.
Biology.
Right. Like, a startup in Japan called Power Japan Plus has been working on the problem of batteries for a long time. Mm-hmm. Well, they came up with an idea that is basically the ultimate rechargeable battery. It is a kind of unique idea because instead of having two things that kind of bounce off of each other for creating the battery power, mm-hmm. it just uses carbon. Uses carbon on both sides.
Interesting.
So, no rare materials whatsoever, and they've apparently gotten this to work on a large scale and all the way down to a AAA battery size. Mm-hmm. But it basically is like the ultimate non-deadly for the environment version of a lithium-ion battery.
Interesting. So it's like a single use, but it lasts forever?
Or a long time? It's an actual rechargeable type of battery. And it's so far, if these people are to be believed, which I'm going to, because...
Mm-hmm. Sounds plausible, at least.
Right. It's basically, it can recharge many times faster than a lithium ion battery or
the current state of batteries.
Right. And like I said, the main thing is that kind of the dirty secret of the lithium batteries that are out there right now is that there isn't a really good way to recycle them. Mm. And so making them in large numbers to power cars and cell phones and everything like that, mm-hmm. while very cool and allows you to do a lot of good things, it's going to create major problems in the future with what to do with these large amounts of batteries.
Right.
Something that's just made of carbon, which is kind of one of the biggest naturally occurring things on the planet to begin with.
Right, right.
Isn't going to cause as many problems.
Fair point. Yeah, that's actually really interesting. If they can make that technology work, I wonder what that would mean for people like Tesla.
Well, that's part of it, too, is it could completely change how we look at electric vehicles in general, just mm-hmm. because it'll put it in a range where you wouldn't have to have crazy expensive batteries that are made out of rare materials.
Right.
You can basically end up having just about every car company creating their own electric vehicle without having to have giant incentives and stuff like that from the government pushing mm-hmm. in on it because it's pretty basic materials. Yeah. But again, it's not completely prime time yet, but the science looks pretty promising at this point.
That was very cool. That sounds like a new future thing I would like to see happen. Yeah, one of many.
Sort of had like a double shot of carbon. Right. Last week was the carbon tools, right, or something?
Yeah. Carbon fiber wrenches. Those are pretty cool.
So spinning off of that science reality, uh-huh. I'll be talking about science fiction.
Nice.
And sort of spinning off of a story, I don't believe I talked about it last week, maybe the week before.
Okay.
It had to do with Star Trek 3, like
what's
going on with that and stuff like that. Well, it looks like Roberto Orci, we weren't entirely
Orci,
sure.
Orci, I think is how it's pronounced.
It looks like he's going to direct Star Trek 3. Story from IGN. The filmmaker was reportedly heavily lobbying for the gig. We've known he was the frontrunner for the gig for a while now, but it appears we now have confirmation that he will indeed direct Star Trek 3. In April, it was revealed that Orci was allegedly heavily lobbying for the job, but Paramount was being cautious over the decision. Variety now reports via sources that Skydance and Paramount have indeed picked the filmmaker to take over the reins from previous director J.J. Abrams. Caution be damned. I think, yeah, that's right. I think where it sort of came up was about the Orsi and his longtime writing partner, Alex Kurtzman, splitting up.
Right,
I think
right.
that mm-hmm. was the yeah. original story. Kurtzman is also co-writing Trek 3's script alongside Patrick McKay and John D. Payne, primarily known as a writer and producer. This will be Orsi's first directorial gig.
Ooh. So
interesting.
Be interesting if he continues the lens flare
mm-hmm.
action. I do wonder, that was something that I forgot to bring up when we spoke about Star Trek or Star Wars last week.
Right.
Was, will the lens flare make an appearance in the new Star Wars episode 7.
I suspect it'll happen during a space shot, but I don't know if it will actually show up inside the ships like in the Enterprise, because like it's not nearly as like future as like shiny tech as the Enterprise.
Will it appear when they go like warp speed? You know, when they show the stars go, they'll do like a quick little
They're gonna pioneer a new version.
Yeah.
That's going to be
3D lens flares.
Well, that's already sort of happened, but the dark flare.
Oh,
right. Whenever a dark side person does something, it'll cause a dark flare that'll end up.
Yeah. But do you need more than 15 pieces of flare for it to be?
Oh boy.
No, not necessarily, but it helps.
Okay. Okay. Right.
It's encouraged.
strongly encouraged. Got
nice.
It.
I guess we'll have to wait till next December
mm-hmm.
to find out
soon
how many flares there will be mm-hmm. to play some bets.
So many flares.
More flares than your brain has room for.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
I have one more? Yes. So thus far, one of the earliest remains from one of the earliest people of the Americas. This was found down on the Yucatan Peninsula, and it is effectively, there isn't a whole lot to her, but it was 12,000 years ago that this was that she was an old.
That seems like a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't think
I was alive back then.
No, I don't. I think she has us beat for that. But some divers recently found her remains. She appears to be about 15 years old, and it is suspected that
old lady.
Yeah. That she wandered into the cave back when it was above water. And because when most caves don't have light in them unless you bring it with you. So
right.
they suspect that she fell into the chasm that eventually became, was filled when the water level rose and filled the cave. So the divers could get in 2007.
So it's now a permanently submerged cave? Is that?
It sounds like it's permanently submerged. The journal Science, says that these remains look more like what they suspect the prehistoric populations looked like, which was like there's been some debate in the different communities about whether like how did you know the remains of the far back inhabitants of America, why do they look so different than the more contemporary old remains in America? And this kind of shows that the early people that arrived here did look the way they expected, and it's suspected that it was a rapid evolution from that state into the more recognizable groupings that we understand now. They did a DNA check on some of the remains.
Okay.
And it now coincides, and they found that the strands coincide with what they were expecting to find, and also that it still is in common with the native peoples of the Americas before the European settlers showed up. So, just kind of interesting that we're like uncovering even more about ourselves that we didn't really even realize we didn't know before.
Yeah.
So very cool little story about history and life, the living history that isn't, well, history of where we live. Like, you know, because we all know people, it's like, you know, those, the thought is that people came over on land bridges, but did the people that came over the land bridge, did they look like modern Native American?
Land bridges, those never existed.
Quiet, Drew.
They didn't. Not according to Neil deGrasse, the Neil guy.
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yeah.
Hmm. I haven't got.
Well, whether they came by boat or whatnot.
Yeah. When the earlier the modern Native American and these Paleo Americans, they've now found that the link is direct as opposed to another wave of incursion from a different type, as opposed. So it's what we understand to be Native Americans
genetically connected.
Genetically can connect back to the people that actually arrived there very early on. So.
Okay.
Very cool.
It's all black magic. Wizards and sorcerers and witches and stuff. That's what did it all.
Mm-hmm. they were put there to test your faith.
It's really so simple now that
exactly.
Now that you know.
You know, it's just, it explains it all. A wizard did it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jason, would you like to do our last story or should we wrap?
I'll do the last story because this is a big deal for me.
Okay, so you're going to do our last news story on Robots Attack on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Yes, I will.
It was going smooth.
No, I understand. yeah, it looks like all of the ducks are in line, aligned like the moons.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway... for a Blade Runner sequel, not just like a Blade Runner sequel that's watered down by who knows what director or whatnot, an actual Blade Runner sequel directed by Ridley Scott and starring Harrison Ford.
Wait, what?
Yes. It sounds like everybody in line for, or involved with the movie that has been putting it together is completely on board. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen.
Interesting.
Unless some completely crazy freak accident happens or something like that, which I probably just jinxed everything. But
don't do it!
But yeah, Harrison Ford, basically he was only really interested in it with Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott signed on as the director, so now the production company just basically verified that they are interested in having Harrison Ford in it, which, hey, imagine that.
Yeah. What? He's like becoming a popular commodity again? What?
Right, yeah, go figure. And yeah, it looks like it's going to happen. So a lot of people's sci-fi android dreams are coming true here. Now all that it looks...
Do we have electric sheep, though?
Maybe.
Maybe that.
Oh. Maybe it's maybe a movie completely. Maybe it's Shaun the Sheep in the electronic version. I don't know. And I rarely dream about him, but maybe androids do.
Mm-hmm. It could be.
But sure. It's something definitely to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember hearing about that story a while back when they were sort of like, it wasn't sure if it was going to be a prequel or
right.
Like, it, you know, parties were interested in doing a sequel, but if Harrison Ford's attached onto it, most likely, well, I mean, I
unless
guess
it's a giant flashback or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless they do parts where it jumps before and to the.
Yeah. I present, don't.
So
I definitely welcome it just because some of the best detective like noir stories don't really require any sort of action hero to be in him. And I'm not, he looked action-y, but I'm not sure he was an action hero in the original Blade Runner either.
Yeah.
Really.
So it,
it was
I
a little
think
more
work.
Philosophical than anything else.
Yeah.
Right. I think it'll work.
Did some running,
quite
some
well.
Climbing, but cool.
Yeah. The most action-y thing was his fight with Dolph Lundgren, which was really just him running from Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren was in that movie?
Or no.
the proto Lundgren. We know who you mean.
Yeah.
Rutger Hauer.
Yeah. Sorry. Apologize to the Rutger Hauer fans. I totally botched his name in my mind.
No, it's all right. The Blind Fury fans are just like going to hunt you down now.
Yeah, seriously.
You know. First, they'll have to have someone guide them to you because they're blind. But that maybe they're guide dogs, which will make it even worse because now they'll have
dogs
to attack you and swords.
This is true. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you're going on vacation. So, mm-hmm. Although maybe there are some. I won't say. All right. I won't say. All right. So that was the news. And of course, Caleb, where can they say they just tuned in now and missed all the news and like, oh man, I missed it. Is it too late?
No,
can I
you
see
can.
What they talked about?
Yes, you can. You can catch up with all the stuff we talked about on our Facebook page, Robots Attack. That's two words. Do the search in the top bar. It'll show up. Or you can go to robotsattack.me. That's later. Robots Attack Me, all one phrase, is our Twitter handle. You can find the links there as well. And then, obviously, like I said, robotsattack.me is the place where you can find all the links and archives and stuff. All the stuff you want to know about Robots Attack is there. It's good.
That's right. Okay, let's take a music break and then we'll come back with some geek talk. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play the track The Day You Died from Fantogram, the album Voices. All right, you're listening to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM. The underground sound.
Calling all volunteers! ! Please join the effort to keep Santa Clara's creeks clean, healthy, and beautiful by coming to the Santa Clara Creek Cleanup Day on Saturday, May 17th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Participants must fill out a waiver of liability and turn it in to the site coordinator upon arrival, and those under 18 must have a parent/guardian with them. Cleanup days, several locations will be hosting cleanups, so visit www.cleanacreek.org or email kahickey@santaclara.gov for more information.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter @RobotsAttackMe. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Not supposed to do that. Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the underground sound. We're in Geek Talk, and Caleb's got some Geek Talk for you.
I do. And it's going to be related directly to my love of space. Starting off, two related stories. The first one is about the Illustris Project. It was a scientific model, mathematical model, that was designed to sort of look at the formation of galaxies and the universe at large.
Okay.
It is totally hypnotic to watch the video they've made of the project in motion. It is beautiful. It's science and art at the same time, and it's just fascinating watching the way you can kind of see the nature of the universe build itself out as it goes. And you know, obviously it's just mathematical models. We can't test it because we're on the far side of all the events that it's going to be working on, but based on the physics as best we know it, they have made this model of the universe and its formation and how galaxies themselves interact and are formed, and it is super super cool, and I encourage you all to go check it out. But if the idea of looking at the whole universe at once is just a little bit more than you think you can wrap your brain around at any given point in time.
Yes.
How about this one? You can watch live camera feeds from the ISS streaming in HD from it's a project that they have been working on with a number of other with a number of schools, high schools. The organization is called HUNCH, or High School Students United with NASA to Create Hardware. It's a long acronym. HUNCH is a much better phrase, but it's just a really cool project. They designed and built these high definition cameras, which are attached to the outside of the ISS, and as they go around the Earth, you can watch it streamed live on the internet, and it's just cool. You can like see when they switch cameras, you can get different views of the Earth, and it also gives an appreciation for how difficult it is to get those nice clean maps of satellite imagery that Google uses.
Yeah,
because you can realize just how often the world is covered in clouds, and how much of it's covered in clouds at any given point in time. So it's like, huh?
Okay.
And you know, get to watch things orbit the Earth, and that's just really cool too. So there you go.
Nice. I will mention quickly that this weekend is the Big Wow Comic Fest in San Jose. Mm.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to go check it out, I believe it's Saturday and Sunday. We'll throw a link up on our Facebook and Twitter and all that jazz, as well as links to what Caleb just mentioned. If you mm-hmm. want to go and see that, that sounds pretty cool. I imagine there'll be like a gap when like an alien spacecraft flies by. Like,
No.
I've got a hunch.
It's gonna show.
You're gonna enjoy it.
It's gonna show every single alien spacecraft there is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they can't hide that. You know, the aliens.
Yeah.
Aliens.
They're broadcasting directly to high school students, so they're not gonna miss a trick.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And due to the nature of the name of the website where I got this information from, you'll have to go to find the links because it's not radio safe for the full title of the.
Oh man!
I know. I was like, why couldn't someone else like have put these links up there? But
well, I mean, you could still put the link in our.
Yeah, the link is in the notes. You can still find it. I just can't tell you what it is over the air.
Mm-hmm.
So Facebook, Twitter, or robotsattack.me. That's where you go to find it.
That's fine. No one's listening anyway.
We'll have the shortened version so you don't have to look at whatever is apparently offensive or so, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've got a hunch it's going to be trouble if we say it over the radio.
Yes, okay. It will.
Okay.
That's a good hunch.
Yeah. Hunch relating back to
the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll trust you guys.
Alrighty, so what's next?
What's next is going to be a song because you need to catch up on something. So,
it's true.
And the people want to hear some music because, you know, we've talked for a while and they want to hear some Saint Vincent. They want to hear the track Rattlesnake from her self-titled album, Saint Vincent. All right, we're going to be back with the core and we're going to talk about some big, big Microsoft Xbox news that dropped this week.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what they're going to have for E3 if they dropped this information already. So we'll be right back. You're definitely going to want to come back and stick around for that. Unless you don't like video games, then you're probably not going to be that interested in it. But please stick around anyway. Because
it'll still be good for someone else
it's us,
to know.
Yeah, and you like us no matter what we talk about. All right, let's get to that music.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
You are now entering the core.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Sinclair 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in the core, and we're going to talk about some major Microsoft/Xbox news that was dropped this week. Then we're like, E3, we got some big news for that. Let's dump this. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
This can't be possible. It just can't be happening that there's going to be a Kinect-less Xbox One now.
Yeah, I'm a little, like, I think it's cool, but I'm a little bit surprised that they did it. On one hand, I can see why they did, just as like, well, huh,
Yeah. Now they have a system that's the same price as the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
So now if a customer walks into a shop or looks online, they'll see both systems.
Same price.
The same price.
Right.
But...
And probably more importantly, all of the people that were afraid of technology now have one less thing to be afraid of.
So. No, they don't. The technology is going to do it to them no matter what they
do.
No.
Well, okay. People are much more afraid of a camera that looks at you than most other technologies that they're bringing into their living room.
Fair enough.
So
yeah, there was a lot of like, is it going to be spying on me? Is it looking at me like 24 hours a day? Like, oh, is it going to record what I'm doing in my room? Like,
never mind that Microsoft is like one of the only companies that's actually been standing up to the government and like blocking off all of this stuff. But hey.
Yeah, It's the year to bash on Microsoft.
Right. I'm talking to
which
you,
particular
Google.
Which particular one? There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Microsoft's been a whipping boy for quite a while now in terms of technology. But interesting, the Kinectless One. Like, on one hand, it's really interesting. On the other hand, it's like, it's sort of, I guess it sort of hamstrings some of the features that I really like about the One, which is the voice commands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The gestures are still sort of, yeah, they're kind of cool. I've never gotten them to work as well as I feel like they should, but
yeah,
the voice commands work and all the times when or 99% of the times when the gestures are going meh, so I'm like, I'll just use those instead.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I would have preferred, I mean, if they had just, you know, dropped the price to match the PlayStation 4, but
that would have been awesome.
You know, it's clearly they said they were thinking about this for a while. They, you know, responded to fan feedback and you know, the option to do it this way was better for them.
Yeah,
it's probably easier to take out a peripheral to make the price lower as to lower the price of the peripheral and lose a lot of money on each sale of it.
Yeah. I completely understand all of this. The thing that makes me shudder is in sympathy for all of the developers out there who have invested so heavily in the Kinect at this point. Because, I mean, if they already have something in the works that's going to use the Kinect, there is going to be a sizable number of people out there that do automatically have it. So that's still good. But it kind of takes the promise out of the future that you're going to have this built-in audience for the future, because that's not necessarily true. I think there's a decent chance that Xbox is going to sell a lot better now with this option, especially since they have the more popular games for the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand that. Yeah. And I can understand Microsoft wanting that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's got to be a little bit deadly to companies like Harmonix that have invested so heavily in this technology.
Yeah, their game coming out later this year, Fantasia game,
right?
Mm-hmm. Relies and all on.
I don't think it's a coincidence that they put out like a video for their game literally the same night that this news came out. I think it was like, okay, we need to get ahead of this and make sure people are still invested. So yeah, a little bit of damage control on their part. And a lot of the leaders from that company specifically, you could tell by their tweets that were later censored that they weren't in the happy camp on that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I found out about it, I looked at it like, on the business end, it's like, okay, I understand it. But looking at it, it's like, okay, so now you're, instead of handing like a developer all these tools that they can use. Now, granted, like developers weren't required to do anything with the Kinect. Yeah. And actually, a lot of them didn't really do anything with it.
Right.
With it. But I'd rather like give a developer lots of tools to work with instead of like taking stuff away. Because now there's no incentive. Like now that they know it's not in everyone's Xbox One, like in their home, there's no incentive unless you it goes, now it's back to like the original Kinect. It's like you have to go full bore Kinect game, or you don't bother spending any time on it.
Kinect, yeah.
Yeah.
Like any features or anything. And so
yeah. I'm sure Microsoft is looking at the previous Kinect and its success,
mm-hmm.
because it holds a Guinness record for like the quickest selling peripheral of all time, and it did quite well considering mm-hmm. that it was very expensive.
Yeah, $100 thing you stick on your console is not a small chunk of change,
right? And and so I'm sure they're bargaining on people coming to it naturally, especially since I think PlayStation's numbers with their system are actually pretty telling about this technology also, because an insane number of people have been buying the camera for PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that it has nowhere near the number of uses or the power that the Kinect does, I'm kind of at a loss for that. But
well, they bought it for the streaming.
The streaming, and it's not very expensive. It's like $50.
I think it's...
I thought it was more than that. I thought it was like 60 or 70.
I'll reference that while we right. talk.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I'm sure that was part of it too, is that once they realized that they didn't have something to compare to the extra $100 that Microsoft was going to be effectively asking for the Kinect, that they were going to do that. The thing that's interesting to me is it ended up being a landslide of information coming out that was sort of all chain reacting to this information about the Kinect being, or the Xbox One being available without the Kinect.
Yeah.
They had said in previous release or in previous press releases that they were going to at some point allow people to mess more with the wired in settings that are set aside for the Kinect. But apparently there's going to be a push for that to happen almost immediately now.
Hmm.
And the estimates from Xbox is that that's a 10% chunk of its processing power, which easily puts it in the range for being a direct graphical competitor with the PlayStation 4 again. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing, is that once you add to it that the Xbox might become a little bit more of a powerhouse if you don't have the Kinect attached, that's a pretty good incentive not to have it attached to your system,
mm-hmm.
which to me is like a Kinect killer. That's the biggest Kinect killer of them all.
Yeah, because, well, and then I remember seeing some stuff about that and made me think like, okay, so then, like, so if you are using your Kinect, like, are you going to have to unplug it, or will they have something that, like, just shuts it off, like
temporarily.
I think that was the idea, is that they were going to allow the developers the power to shut off the Kinect for their game and on a temporary basis. But of course, that would mean that you don't have the quick swap ability that it was wired into the Kinect for you being able to do the voice commands into it. But it's also more about how much power is set aside for the apps as well. So it may not be that the full 10% was all the Kinect. It was that it's setting aside that amount of processor power to run the stuff that the Kinect influenced.
I remember them mentioning that there was a percentage set aside for the Kinect, and it was like, of that percentage, a certain percentage was for voice stuff, and then the other thing was like body tracking.
Okay.
And they were working on allowing developers to, like, if they didn't want to do anything with the body, but just use the voice, they could take that percentage and use that. So, but yeah, it's just, I mean, I believe Phil Spencer, I mean, they've come out and said, like, they still want to push the Kinect. They're still, like, behind it, and they still want to support it. I just hope it doesn't turn into what the original one does.
Or Joy Connect, where it's like, I mean, you add it on because you want to play this Connect game, but you don't use
because
it all
if
the
you,
time. Yeah.
If you now are like, if you don't use it, you can, you know, have more power for these games. There goes like streaming. There goes record that. There goes like, they're going to have to figure out. I mean, I know they've talked that they're going to have to just start changing the UI because a lot of it is very like voice controlled, to be more like controller sensitive than it is right now. So I don't know if that means that they'll figure out a way to do like recording options and that sort of thing, like through the controller, but it does eliminate like those things. And it's like, that goes back to, that was the big reason why people bought the camera for PlayStation 4, because it was like, it from right out of the box, it was, you could stream on Twitch, and it had like the PlayStation Live thing that some people were doing some naughty stuff in, but others were you know, not doing naughty stuff. But so it's like that, like, now kills that. And I just, I'm disappointed, but I understand why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If that means like more people buy Xbox Ones, that's cool. I mean, yeah,
I have a feeling they're playing the long game on this one, is that they still want to push it at a later date. They just realized that people weren't quite ready for it right now. I think that's going to cripple it in the long run personally. And I think they're, well, okay. Somebody put it a different way that I thought was kind of interesting, is that effectively they have to relaunch their system at this point. They have to put the information out there.
Yeah,
right. And they have to spend the money getting that information out there. And then it ends up being this question of, well, okay, that's going to be a ton of money because media is not cheap in general.
No, it isn't.
And all of us who already have them, it was hand-delivered to us by the system itself, which that's easy enough. But you're trying to get it to the people who don't have the system and are considering the system or maybe weren't in the first place.
Or still think it doesn't play used games. Or there's a people that are completely misinformed.
Is that rumor still persisting?
Yeah, there's a lot of...
There's a ton of... Yeah.
Because you have to kind of figure, it's like, there's a small percentage that check out, like, the gaming websites on a regular basis.
Right.
And then there's a bigger percentage that don't. Like, they're into gaming, but they don't check out the sites. I mean, like, yourself, not to put you on the spot, but you had no idea about this, but you own an Xbox One, you play video games, you like video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not, like, a complete surprise, but it is kind of sad that all that sort of negative information is still out there. It's like, Microsoft has a pretty big uphill battle to fight. Like,
I just thought that they'd gotten in front of that one well enough with the actual launch that wasn't going to be a problem. But
no,
apparently not.
No.
Side note: the PlayStation 4 camera is $60.
Okay.
Yeah, and
$59.99 MSRP.
Yeah, and they are saying that when the Kinect is released, it's going to be under $100 from now, whether that means $99.99 or if it's going to actually be more comparable to the PlayStation 4's Kinect or camera.
Mm-hmm. It sounded like, from a story I read, that it might actually be more expensive.
Oh, okay.
But I can't say it was Phil Spencer for sure. I think he was quoted in the article, but he mentioned like there's an advantage to packaging everything all together versus like having to take that out, create its own packaging and sell it. So they kind of make it sound like there's a chance that it might be more than $99.95.
I think that's going to cut the opposite direction though. I think Microsoft is going to eat that personally.
I hope so, but it's like a double-edged sword. On one hand, it could be like an incentive for people to just pick up the all-inclusive one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it would be on the long, like...
Because a series of stories that was coming out was that people like us were angry that we ended up investing so heavily like early on, which, I mean, early adopter, it's always
you're
a
always going to pay a premium being right the first in line.
but the big part was that it is out there and a fair number of people are already accepting the idea that the Kinect is going to be lower cost in the next iteration in the separate version than it is now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that does end up being kind of a downer for a lot of us.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I've gotten my value out of that as a peripheral for the system. I have no regrets.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult because honestly, we're kind of Microsoft believers at this point because we've been through a generation of the system that worked really well for us and actually I think brought us closer together as friends. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're much more invested in the Microsoft products than anything else. The thing that's the biggest downer to me is that to me now it puts it back in the zone of what made the PlayStation 4 way less interesting to me. And it's not that it doesn't have like some killer thing. It's just that it's a cheap computer.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, now I have that in my head that my Xbox is just a cheap computer. And I want something better than that. And I think I got like the better end of the spectrum by having the Kinect, so mm-hmm. it is something special. But mm-hmm. without the drive that it had before, it does create a very real threat of, is this just going to end up being a cheap computer?
Yeah. They took risks trying to do some different things, and people, it seemed like a majority of people
weren't quite ready for it.
Didn't like it. They didn't, and I think it's partially Microsoft and mm-hmm. people just not like understanding like, Microsoft had a horrible messaging.
Just
didn't do a good job selling it. Hopefully, where I'm sort of imagining that they'll do now is, now that they'll have it separate, they're going to push that like, hey, mm-hmm. you want to record that quick moment? Now, you know, it's super easy with the Kinect. All you got to say is Xbox, record that. Mm-hmm. You want to stream on Twitch with your friends? You know, here's the Kinect. You want to talk Skype, and then Skype now does multiple video chats mm-hmm. with people. You do that with the Kinect. Like, I'm guessing now they're gonna push a lot of like those services that they didn't really talk about that much before. Now they're really gonna emphasize and highlight those, and mm-hmm. where that's cool. I just hope that like it doesn't now discourage like the creative end, like for developers and stuff, because there's a talk of like, okay, well, it'll be up to the indie developers again to like, you know, make something cool, and it's like, that's definitely a possibility, but there's less of that now because they know the fraction of people who have a Kinect, it's going to be less and less now. So
well, and it's funny too because this wasn't the only announcement that ended up pushing the Xbox One more towards being the same type of thing as a PlayStation 4. They also announced at the same time that they were going to drop the paywall.
Yeah. Before we get to that,
okay.
Which sort of streaming apps,
mm-hmm,
there's
mm-hmm.
a radio stream. If you want to listen to KSU, even when you're not near a radio, you can stream us whenever you want at KSU.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website. And never be without the underground sound. So yes, turning from something that's negative, positive, it depends on your outlook. This is a positive thing, I think, all around. I can't imagine anyone thinking like this is a bad thing now. But yeah, go ahead and.
Well, okay. The problem that people were having was that they were looking at an Xbox versus a PlayStation, and let's say they wanted to use it just for streaming stuff and for playing single-player video games. They didn't really want to invest in Xbox Live. They didn't really want to invest in PlayStation Plus. PlayStation figured out early on that, well, we need to not have any charge for this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and just allow people to access it through their normal ISPs just fine, which makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But Microsoft took the opposite direction, is that, well, if we still keep it as like effectively a pay thing, we can push the tech a little bit farther on making better apps and so on for this stuff.
Right.
Which to me is a selling point for keeping it behind the paywall, as weird as that may sound.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's all done, there's no reason to keep it that way because the stuff has already been made. It's already baked into the system. So you might as well drop the paywall and get people into an Xbox that way as well.
Yeah.
But it's one more thing that makes it just like a PlayStation, and it is a positive thing. The other thing is that they are shifting the way that their Games with Gold program is going to work. And now it's almost exactly like how the PlayStation Plus games system works. It's just going to be...
Xbox One.
Right, yeah, yeah. The 360 is going to come, as far as I can tell, remain unchanged, although they're taking away some of the apps that were available on the 360 from what I could tell on a checklist that they released.
Okay.
So they're definitely trying to push people towards the One a little bit more also.
Yeah.
But I meant like the Games with Gold, like the 360, like... It doesn't sound like it's changing on that end. It's
right.
For the One, it's going to be different.
Yeah, exactly. Because the PlayStation 4 already has games being put into that pipeline, and people are getting their free games off of that system for the PlayStation 4. And we're in the process of getting it for the Xbox One,
mm-hmm.
but hasn't happened yet. And yeah. so... It's kind of interesting them shifting all of those rules around right before they're going to start releasing games for free.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be tethered to whether you still have an Xbox Live account, much like the PlayStation version does. As soon as you shut down your PlayStation Plus and as soon as you shut down your Xbox Live...
Your Gold account.
Right. You end up losing whatever games you had.
Mm.
So
yeah, like if you're not familiar, like on the 360, if you got a Gold account, you had access to Games with Gold, like two free games a month.
Mm-hmm.
You could download those games or initiate the download. And even if you stopped being a Gold member, as long as you could still play those games, they were still yours.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like for the 360, it's going to stay that way. But yeah. for the One, it's going to go, like you mentioned, it's going to go more like a PlayStation Plus. You have to have a Gold account to access these games. If you mm-hmm. stop having a Gold account, you can't access these games anymore.
Yeah.
So,
which just seems fair up to a point. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting to me about the entire thing for both of those last two items is that Xbox has been such a Gold service, like just hands down. I really can't imagine having owned a 360 without Gold. It doesn't make any kind of sense to me.
Yeah,
and it was always kind of sold that way. And yeah, it was an extra charge that you had to spend. That was also a selling point for the PlayStation 3 at the time, but mm-hmm. ultimately the PlayStation 3 lost out on that deal, and they ended up not selling as well as the Xbox 360. So there's a lot of stuff that feels like it's weird rebalancing stuff that it just makes it so much more like a PlayStation, that it's smart because now you basically get to beat PlayStation at their own game.
Yeah.
But there's no differentiation as far as I can tell anymore. So
it's almost like, I think what they're trying to do is make it so you can almost just say, like, you're familiar with PlayStation Plus, it's exactly the same thing. And yeah. so if they can get that in people's minds, like they do, you know, all these same sort of things. And then when they can kind of get rid of some of that bad press, then they can start to kind of like introduce some of their own...
The momentum. They can build
their
back
own
up again.
Things, maybe. Because, I mean, again, which is... Not to go back to the Kinectless thing, but we're not even a year into these new systems.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, who knows what sorts of things we're going to be doing in 5 years?
Right.
And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, we had the 360 for like 8 years. So it's like, yeah. that was something also about like not having the Kinect. It was like, who knows what stuff we'll be doing with. I mean, if you told me like, yeah, people will be streaming their games and stuff when, you know, you on computer cameras right. and all that sort of stuff, you know, like
the tech
5 or 6 years
so
ago. So, yeah. I was like, what? Oh, I never really would have thought about that. Now it's like so commonplace. So it's like, mm-hmm. who knows not having that anymore, what's going to do. But to go back to this, it's like, uh-huh. who knows next year, the year after that, like what they'll start to do to
yeah.
differentiate themselves from PlayStation. Because it's kind of like, I mean, they're sort of playing each other's games now. It's like Sony had to basically make the 360.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they, you know, they played catch up to Microsoft. And then when they finally caught up, then they created PlayStation Plus.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. you know, without that, we wouldn't have had games with gold. So,
it's true.
You know,
it's true.
So it's like once they sort of get back on a more
even playing field,
then it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what Microsoft does or what Sony does to, you know, get people yeah. to, you know.
Yeah, and add to that, the news just came out that Sony Corp is actually, like, hemorrhaging money like crazy.
yeah.
yeah, them and Nintendo are not doing so hot in terms
right.
of the money department.
But actually what I wanted to get to with... how I started this entire differentiation becoming like not so much anymore. The one thing that's still a big differentiation between Microsoft and PlayStation or Microsoft and Sony on the game consoles is that Microsoft is still holding the line on the idea of parity with the indie games. And to me, of all of the things to like really stand your ground on, that yeah. is the weirdest one to really hold on to out of all of this stuff that they just completely reversed on.
Yeah.
So it.
Yeah, I wonder if that's something though. If they do change their mind, if that's going to be one of the things they reveal at E3, because
yeah.
they push like, you know, it's going to be about the game. So I wonder if
right.
that's going to be something they're going to come mm-hmm. out with and like,
yeah.
you know, this thing that most people don't seem to like. We're getting rid of that or something like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, I don't know. But yeah, it is funny. Like you said, of all the things that they're doing 180s yeah. on, this is something so far that they're like,
this is still
no,
standing firm.
This is how it is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Interesting. You talk about things that are helpful or bringing change into your life. Here's the try out the 211 service from United Way. It's a free community health and disaster information. And it's available in Santa Clara County by calling 211. Callers can receive personalized information from a live call specialist about needs such as food, shelter, counseling, drug and alcohol intervention, and employment assistance. The service is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in English, Spanish, and over 170 different languages.
Damn.
Yes. 211 is a non-emergency.
Maybe too many.
No, you can never too many. It's a 211 is a non-emergency confidential phone service provided by United Way Silicon Valley and is supported by local charity by local cities and the county of Santa Clara.
So I'm just trying to imagine on that, like having that many languages. I don't know how you even do that without just having the call rerouted to whatever random country, like just some guy like waiting by a phone. Like, you have a question?
yeah.
Mm.
And not to toot my own horn, but one of our listeners mm-hmm. agrees with me. I assume this is going back to the Kinect.
Yes,
this,
I think so.
Topic says, agree with Joe. This is definitely not going to push the technology. That's a shame. So,
and I think it's something that I thought that I had occurred to me a similar thought. Just didn't get a chance to sneak it in there. But like,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No, you.
So moving on.
You guys all have great points. Right. Shut up.
I want to talk more about no.
I think that's the larger challenge I see with the removing the Kinect is that it changes the technology platforms a bit. And although I do agree with you, I do like what you said about the fact that it's kind of bringing them back and bringing the PS4 and the Xbox One into a parity so that you have an apples-to-apples comparison when you're looking at the consoles on the shelf.
Yeah, it becomes more now about the software.
The games.
Which usually is what sells a system.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which Xbox is winning on right now, so...
Mm-hmm. So
arguably, yeah.
It depends on who you ask, honestly.
Yeah. But at that point, once they are on an even playing field, then they can start like saying, okay, our strength is this, and we can make this strength even more awesome by doing this. And I think that will be something that they can help them sell more of the.
Yeah.
Get the $500 box set. It's not directly comparable to a $400 or the baseline PS4, but it does this much more and it's that much better than because of.
Because honestly,
that's sort of like where Apple does its pricing. It's like everything we make is just that little bit above what you would expect it to be. So, you know, you're looking around like, okay, I can get that iPod or this MP3 device or that MP3 device.
Yeah.
The Apple One is $25 to $30 more, give or take, depending which one you're looking at. But it allows me access to all this other stuff. So it's more awesome because of where it's connected for not quite intended.
Yeah.
So the problem with that though, unfortunately, is that Microsoft is never going to get that brand loyalty. Like they cannot buy that with all the gold in the world because Microsoft is not cool. There's no way that it's ever going to become cool. And that's like the biggest drag on the Xbox systems is that they're attached to Microsoft, unfortunately.
Yeah. It is the coolest thing of Microsoft, honestly. You know,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. There was very lightly bandied about rumors of spinning Xbox into its own division.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still being affiliated with Microsoft, closely tied to Microsoft, so on and so forth, but just Xbox would become Xbox.
But yeah, I think...
I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but...
I think, unfortunately, the Kinect 2.0, because of the success of the Kinect 1, is sort of a bad thing for the Kinect 2.0, because while it did sell a lot, for most people, when they think of the Kinect, in their mind, it's... You wave your hand game, like it's a motion wavy game. It's like, no, it can do all these other things. But when you have that stuck in your head and you have it stuck in your head that you need like a game to sell you this piece of, you know, hardware.
Right.
That's really hard to overcome. It's like, that's why hopefully they can put together something that shows. And again, like I've talked to a lot of people where, for some reason, like they haven't had as much success with their Kinect, unfortunately. Like their voice controls don't seem to work terribly well for them, or it is definitely seems to be kind of hit and miss. It's not perfect for everyone, but I've had like great success with it. I love it. I love being able to go sit in my room, like Xbox, go to TV. I'm done watching this. Xbox, go to Netflix. Okay, I'm done. Xbox, turn off. Yes, and then just roll over and go to sleep, and it'll shut everything off, and I don't have to touch anything. And you know, it's like
that is until you've experienced that, you don't understand the cool factor of it.
Like the other day, wife and I were actually reflecting on that, like just to each other, like we went the whole evening using pretty much everything we would normally do with the Xbox without ever touching a controller. Not the remote on our phones, not the remote, the gaming remote. We didn't touch anything, but we were able to get the Xbox to do everything we wanted it to do.
It is funny though, like from the outside, you know, from my perspective, like I can understand how it ends up so hardwired with you because you do mostly the media stuff that it works really well. But yeah, every once in a while it gets frustrating on my end, like. When I know you're holding the controller and I know it's just like one button press to do something.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you yelling at me when you can press the button? But
yeah.
Well, some of it's because,
it's a testament to how well it works for you, though. So,
Yeah, 99% of the time it does exactly what I want it to do. Every so often, though, you say something and it's like you swear it looked at you cross-eyed. Like, wait, no, why?
Yeah.
I said volume up, and why am I in the sign-in screen?
Yeah, I kind of feel like the Kinect 2 needs something like the old Kinect had. And like, you know, the old Kinect, it had a little motor, so it would look up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Kinect 2 needs a little motor that tilts its head, like, sideways, like, what?
When it's confused, yeah.
Get a little puppy face on it. Huh?
Right. Yeah. So it's more endearing when it does, like, mess the bed.
Yeah.
Your flaps raise up like, what? I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I do like that so far in all the continual updates that the system's had, that they've they've continually say like improved voice this, improved, like they're still, you know, updating it and all that stuff and offering now, like you can give them voice samples so they can make it even better if you opt in to do it in the settings, but
which I should probably do since my voice.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, microphones don't like your voice very much unless you're like right on top of them.
I'm surprised I show up on the radio. I'm like a microphone vampire, like vampires with mirrors. I have kind of the same thing with microphones.
It's black magic, witches and sorcerers and wizards, like the other thing I mentioned earlier, the space stuff. But so yeah, there was some pretty major news that was dropped pre E3 from Microsoft. So let us know what you think. I mean, even if you're not even interested in the Xbox, if you're more, you know, if you own a PlayStation 4,
if you're a PlayStation 4, tell us what you think. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, are you interested in now that like some exclusives for Xbox, now that the system's like, now it's the same price, is it more enticing now since they're now the same price? But
yeah,
but yeah, let us know. And of course, Caleb, how can they do that?
If you wish to get in touch with us, give us feedback of most any sort, you can find us on Facebook. We are Robots Attack. That's two words, put that in the search bar at the top. Or you can find us over on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all one word. And then our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the one place to rule them all, the one place to find everything you want to know about Robots Attack is robotsattack.me. You can get links to all the social things that I talked about, as well as our archived episodes there as well.
That's right. All right. We're getting out of here. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show.
Stick around
for some cool music. And like I mentioned earlier, this weekend, if you're interested, the Big Wow Comic Fest in downtown San Jose, I think it's at the Convention Center or something.
I think so.
We'll post it, a link to it on our pages and Twitters and all those things that Caleb mentioned in his sultry voice.
All the places with the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mixto.